This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church.
Ephesians 3 and 20, it's one of my favorite verses in the entire Word of God. This is what it says. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. Folks, that's a fabulous verse if you think about it. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. Let us pray. Jesus, we bow our heads and our hearts in your presence. I pray today that you would take these lips of clay, that I would share a word in season, a word that would be beneficial and helpful to people. Lord, you didn't give us the Bible to increase our knowledge. You gave us the Bible to change our lives. Holy Spirit, go before us. May we preach with your power. May we preach with your anointing. May we share simply what you would want us to share. May the invitation be fruitful. And I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Till you come, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk to you in this message about don't give up on your dream. Don't give up on your dream. I remember on a couple occasions here at Rock Springs Church, we've had the great preacher Tommy Barnett. He's always been a hero of mine. He's been somebody that I greatly admired, had deep respect for him. Actually, Danielle, it was your daddy who introduced me to him the very first time. But he was a man that he's 86 years old, 86 years old. You say, well, Pastor, tell me about him. Well, he pastored the First Assembly of God Church in Phoenix, Arizona. He's the man who actually, that was his prayer mountain. He was the man who actually started the Dream Center. There are 250 Dream Centers in the world. And anytime you see a Dream Center, it can always be traced back to this great preacher, Tommy Barnett. He was the man who started illustrated sermons. Some of us are old enough to remember the Living Christmas Tree. He was the man who started the Living Christmas Tree. I mean, he was a chancellor of a college, just a giant for God. And I remember one day he was preaching here, and we were down in the office. And I said, Brother Tommy, I want to ask you a question. I said, you're in your 80s now. It's a question that I ask all leaders when I meet with them. I said, Brother Tommy, if you could do your ministry over, what would you do different? What would you say to somebody like me who's in his 50s? If you could do your ministry over, what would you say? He said, here's what I would, if I could do it over, Benny. He said, I would dream bigger. I thought, my goodness. You started the Dream Centers. I mean, you're bigger than life. You're bigger than life. Tommy, you would dream bigger? I said, I really don't understand. He said, no, you don't understand, Benny. He said, because Ephesians 3 and 20 says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. He said, if I had dreamed bigger, if I had believed God for bigger things, God could accomplish bigger things with my life. So if I could go back and do it over, he said I would dream bigger. Now here's what I want you to know. According to Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, this is what God's word says. For God is working in you. Now who's that talking to? He's talking to you. It's talking to you. It's talking to you. It's talking to you. And it's talking to you. God is working in you. Look, giving you the desire. Where does the desire that's in your heart come from? I'll tell you where it comes from. It comes from God. God put that desire in your heart. Look, not only does he give you a desire, oh, this is good, folks. He gives you the power to do it. Isn't that great, folks? Not only does he give you the desire, but he gives you the power to do it, to do what pleases him. You say, well, Brother Benny, it's insane to live life with a dream. It may be insane to live life with a dream, but it's madness to live life without one. Jimmy Irwin would, as a boy, Jimmy Irwin would go to bed at night and he'd look out his window staring at the moon. That little old boy would go to bed and he'd look out his window staring at the moon. And he said, one day, I'm going to walk on that moon. One day, I'm going to walk on that moon. And 32 years later, James Irwin became the eighth man to walk on the moon. They asked him, they said, what did it feel like when you walked on the moon? And he said these words. He said, it felt like I had been there 1,000 times. It felt like I had been there 1,000 times. By the way, James Irwin spent the last 20 years of his life preaching the gospel, sharing about Jesus Christ. Paul Youngie Cho said, we'll never be any bigger. We'll never be any bigger than our dreams. And what I want to challenge people with, I want to challenge you with today, is don't you ever give up on your dream. You say, well, Pastor, I'm old. Noel, if you've got a pulse, God's still got a plan. Pastor, this has happened. Well, if you're alive, God's still got a plan. Don't you ever give up on your dream. Because, see, God's put dreams in all of our hearts. That dream may be to start a business. That dream to have a child. That dream to lose weight. That dream to get a degree. That dream to find a mate. That dream to write a book. That dream to start a business. That dream to change what you're doing now to something totally different from what you're doing now. I just want you to know, folks, it's God that puts dreams in our hearts. Now, this is all I want to say. You said, Pastor Benny, but you believe in people being spirit-filled, don't you? Sure I do. Sure I do. And what's amazing to me is when I hear churches, and all I hear a lot about, we're spirit-filled people. We're spirit-filled people. And I have no problem with that. But let me tell you something. He said, in the last days, when I pour my spirit out upon all flesh, your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. And ladies and gentlemen, if we're spirit-filled people, we ought to be believing God for big things. Now, let me make 5 or 6 statements, and I'll be done today. Statement number one, you need to discover God's dream. You need to discover God's dream. Notice what Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God which worketh in you. For it's God is working in you. I'm not talking about your dream. I'm talking about God's dream. I'm not talking about your plan. I'm talking about God's plan. Pastor, how do I know that God's speaking to me and not just some bad Mexican food? Well, let me give you some things to think about as you're working toward discovering God's dream. And folks, I want to say quickly, God's got a dream for you. Number one, a dream from God requires faith. A dream from God requires faith. If you can accomplish it on your own, I doubt it's from God. If you can do it in your own ability, I doubt it's from God. Because the Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, for without faith, it is impossible to please him. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. I was studying this week about Nehemiah and the fact that they built that wall around Jerusalem in 52 days. In 586 BC, Nebuchadnezzar invaded Jerusalem, destroyed the temple. The cream of the crop of the Jewish people, he took back to Babylon with him. I mean, the Shadrachs, Meshach, and Abednego's, and the good-looking ones, the handsome ones, the intelligent ones, he took back to Babylon with him. But he left some there. The ones that he didn't want, by the way. And they were referred to in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 3. They were referred to as the remnant. He just left the remnant. But you know what's amazing? Nehemiah took the remnant. And in 52 days, they built the wall. In 52 days, they built the wall. I remember when I had the plans for this building right here. I was taking the plans around and I was showing them to bankers. And I remember the one banker looking at me and said, if somebody ever loans you the money, if somebody would be naive enough and foolish enough to loan you the money and you could get the building built, you don't have the clientele of people to pay for the building. The remnant. That's all I had. And it was going to take, when I finally did get the loan, it was going to take 27 years to pay off the loan if I just made the monthly payment. But with the remnant, the wrong clientele of people, God paid it off in 3 years and 9 months. You know what I know? A dream from God requires faith. Let me tell you something else. A dream from God... A dream from God aligns with His Word. A dream from God aligns with His Word. Somebody said, when I'm a pastor, I've had to neglect my family to accomplish what I accomplished. No, no, no. See, a dream from God will always align with His Word. It will always align with His Word. You said, well, I had to cheat on my taxes this year, but I was able to give more to the church. No, 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 no. No, that's not biblical. That's not biblical. Because, see, a dream from God, ladies and gentlemen, will always align with His Word. Now, get this. A dream from God involves others. A dream from God involves others. You say, well, I've got a dream, and my dream is going on 8 cruises this year. No, no, no. A dream from God involves others. You remember in Genesis 37, Joseph got a dream from God. And if you remember in his dream, he talked about sheaves. He talked about sheaves. He talked about harvest. The Bible says in Psalms 126, verse 5 and 6, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth weeping shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. What do the sheaves represent? The sheaves represent people. Always remember, a dream from God will involve other people. That's why Martin Luther King Jr. could stand on the Lincoln Memorial and say, I have a dream that my 4 children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. Amen? Because a dream from God always involves other people. Tell you the fourth thing about a dream from God. A dream from God will align with your abilities. A dream from God will align with your abilities. See, Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are His workmanship. We are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Your gift is what you do best with the least amount of effort. God's never going to give me the dream, or God's never going to give me the dream to be an opera singer, because it simply doesn't align with my abilities. Somebody said, oh, you, no, 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 you, no, it has to align with your abilities, ladies and gentlemen. See, here's what I know. You got to discover God's dream, but then there's something else. You got to discover it, but then you've got to decide to act. You've got to decide to act. Now, God gave Noah a dream of saving the world, but he had to make a decision to build the ark. God gave Abraham a dream of being the father of a great nation, but he had to leave the comfort and security of his home to go out and do it. God gave Moses the dream of leading the children of Israel out of 400 years of bondage, but he had to confront Pharaoh. Jesus gave his disciples the dream of joining him, but they had to make a decision to leave the familiar to join him. Jesus invited Peter to walk on the water, but Peter had to make a decision to get out of the boat. See, it's one thing to discover the dream, but it's another thing, ladies and gentlemen, to decide to act. You say, well, now, Pastor, I'm going to act when the timing is exactly right. Come up real close. Ecclesiastes 11:4. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. The timing's never going to be perfect. You've just got to decide to act. So, Pastor, what did you recommend? That dream that God's put in your heart, I would encourage you to share that dream. Share that dream. And that'll do three things. Number one, it creates accountability. As long as you keep it in your heart and you never share the dream, you're in no way accountable, and it's easy not to act. In the early 60s, John F. Kennedy said, our goal, our dream, is to put a man on the moon by the end of this decade. He put a deadline to the dream. And in July 1969, America put a man on the moon. Let me tell you something. When you share the dream, get this, folks. When you share the dream, it creates accountability. But let me tell you something else it does. It attracts other people. It attracts other people. A dream from God will attract other people. You remember Joseph said, I have a dream. Well, what did that dream do? I'll tell you what that dream did. It attracted a butler. What does a butler do for you? A butler opens doors for you. What did he do when he shared that dream? It not only attracted a butler, it attracted a Pharaoh. What does a Pharaoh do? A Pharaoh provides finances. Not only did it attract a butler, not only did it attract a Pharaoh, but it attracted a baker. What's a baker do? A baker takes a little bit of this, a little bit of that, puts it all together. A baker connects things. Now, I'm going to say this right quick, folks. You say, Pastor, I've got a dream. This is just a bonus to the message. Joseph had to help the butler, the baker, and the Pharaoh with their dreams before he got his dream. You say, I got a dream. What do you recommend? Why don't you help somebody else with their dream? It creates accountability. It attracts other people. Let me tell you what else it does. This is good. It releases God's power. It releases God's power. Preacher, what are you talking about? When you act on the dream that God's placed in your heart, it releases God's power. You remember those 10 lepers? All 10 of them had leprosy. Jesus healed the 10. Remember? And then he said this. Go show yourself to the priest. That verse is in Luke. Yeah, right here. Now get this. Here's all. Why, Pastor Benny, why did Jesus tell these men to go show themselves to the priest? Because they couldn't acclimate back into society. They had to stay ostracized from people until the priest said they were clean. So get this. He said, you go show yourself to the priest. Oh, this is so good. Wait. And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. What if they just stayed there, folks? What if they just stayed there? I don't believe they would have been cleansed. You got to understand something. You got to understand something. When you decide to act, it releases God's supernatural power. When the Jordan River parted, when did the Jordan River part? You study Joshua chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. God said, I'm going to part the Jordan River, but the Jordan River didn't start parting till they put their feet in the water. It didn't start parting till they put their feet in the water. Oh, folks, many of us are wanting God to do something great for us, but we're not willing to put our feet in the water. Let me tell you something. I had rather attempt something great for God and fail is attempt nothing and succeed. Here's what I would say. You discover God's dream. You decide to act. Now look at this. Difficulties and dead ends you will face. Difficulties and dead ends you will face. Paul Harvey said, you can always tell when you're on the road to success. It's uphill all the way. Look here, folks. Everything that you want to accomplish in life will always be uphill. Now, I don't mean this wrong. That's worth you coming to church for today. Everything you want to accomplish in life will always be uphill. And the problem is, folks, you can't handle uphill hopes with downhill habits. Amen? But I want you to know that dream that God, that God's put in your heart, difficulties and dead ends you will face. Look what 1 Corinthians 16:9 says. I love this. Paul said, a great door, for a great door and effectual is open unto me. Wait, he said, I got a great opportunity. I'm so excited. But look what he said, folks. But there are many adversaries. Anywhere there's opportunity, there will be opposition. Every trial is a teacher. Every storm is a school. Every experience is education. Every difficulty is for your development. God said, I want to give you a land in Numbers 14 and 8. He said, I'm going to give you a land of milk and honey. I'm going to give you a land of milk and honey. And all the milk and honey looks good. But always remember, with the milk and honey, there's some stings. And when you milk the cows, you're going to get in some stuff. And we want the milk and honey, but you don't get the milk and honey without the stings and the stuff. Because it goes with the milk and honey. Great it is to dream a dream when you stand at youth by a starry stream, but greater still is to fight life through and say in the end the dream is true. What gives you the authority, Pastor Benny, to talk to people about their dreams? I'll tell you what gives me the authority to talk to people about the dreams. It's coming here 35 years ago, starting out with nothing or nobody, but believing God and looking around and see that God can do great things if we put our faith and our trust and our confidence in Him. Now look, I'm getting to the last point. I wish I had about a week to preach. Deliverance of the dream is going to happen. Deliverance of the dream is going to happen. You say, Pastor, God put it in my heart. Yeah, yes. If you'll follow what I've preached, if you'll follow step one, step two, step three, you'll get to step four. And when you get to step four, deliverance of the dream is going to happen. Look, you said, Pastor, will there be tough times? Get this, yes, but look at the verse. We think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters. Look, oh, this is so good. About the trouble we went through in the province of Asia. We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure. And we thought we would never live through it. In fact, we expected to die, but as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely only on God. What'd he do? Who raises the dead, and he did rescue us. Oh, goodness gracious, goodness gracious. Folks, it's all, it's all I can do, not run down that center aisle right now. It's all I can do. Oh, folks, God is so good, amen? I'm sorry. He did rescue us from mortal danger. Oh, he has, and look, and he will rescue us again. We have placed our confidence in him, and he will continue to rescue us. Can we just praise him? Get this, folks. In Mark chapter 4, I'm not done yet. In Mark chapter 4, look what Jesus said. Jesus said, let us pass over the other side. They was there at the Sea of Galilee that I've been to many times. Many of you have been with me. He said, let us pass to the other side. Now get this, folks. If Jesus said they were going to pass to the other side, they were going to pass to the other side. Now look, what you may not know, they got in a real bad storm. It was bad, but get this. Mark 5:1 said, and they came over unto the other side. Ladies and gentlemen, deliverance of the dream will come. Deliverance of the dream will come. I was thinking this week, and I thought about, what about when people need a miracle? What about when people need a miracle? And I realize, folks, after pastoring this church all these years, I mean this. After pastoring this church all these years, if there's ever been a time that I needed a miracle, it's right now. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, to be honest with you, we have 3 services on Sunday. We're out of space in every area. Out of space in every area. Parking, building, every area. We've turned every closet into an office. Sometimes 3 people in an office. I don't mean it's wrong, folks, but it's hard to preach 3 and 4 times on Sunday. Yes, God, we need a miracle. We need a miracle. We need a building that will seat a whole lot more people than we got. And God, we don't have the resources to do it. We don't. It's not like I pastor a bunch of wealthy people. Wrong clientele of people. What one guy said. When Jesus needed a miracle, Lazarus was dead. God showed me this week in John 11:41. When he needed a miracle, the man's dead. That's what he did is he thanked God. He thanked God. And I thought, God, that's what I need to do. I just need to thank you, Lord. I just need to thank you that when I got here in 1990, the 25 or 30 people didn't throw in the towel. I just need to thank you for those people that they didn't quit. Because they wouldn't be a church today without those 25 or 30 people that were just faithful, amen? I just need to thank God for the people that were so faithful. And when they were meeting in a little white church and they outgrew the church and they set out to build that church, they went to another church and they had an old guy named Roy Goggins, and he walked the church off of how big they was going to build the church. And Roy Goggins got confused and he didn't get his count right. And the church was never supposed to be that size. It was supposed to be much smaller. But God had a plan. God had a plan. And I remember coming, and I remember pastoring in that little old sanctuary, and we started growing and we started reaching people. And they said, "Pastor, we can't get any land." I said, "We can't." They said, "No, we can't." I said, "Well, we need additional place, Sunday school's place for children and youth." They said, "We can't get it." I said, "What about this land right behind us?" They said, "No, they won't sell it." And one day a couple showed up by the name of Dan and Sarah Boyd. And Dan and Sarah Boyd said to me, you're the preacher here now." I said, "Yes, I am." And they said, "We want you to know something. We've got 3 acres behind here. And preacher, we don't want to sell it to you. We want to give it to you. Because you can continue to reach people." And we started building the Butler building. And we had the plans for the Butler building. That was it right there. And I remember we had the plans, and just a little bit before we was going to start construction, there was a man in the church. His name was Hank Boynton. He said, "Preacher, let me tell you something." I said, "What's that?" He said, "If we build it about a foot taller, about 18 inches taller, we could have a second floor on this building." And the last minute, we added a second floor to that building. That was God providentially keeping us growing. God providentially keeping us growing. And God laid it on my heart to build this building debt-free. God said, "You're going to build this building debt-free." And I said, "We're going to build it debt-free." But there was only one problem. We got down to the very last payment. We needed $10,000. We had no money. We needed $10,000. The builder said, "At the latest, I need the last draw on Monday, preacher." I said, "Well, just give me the Monday. I've got church Sunday. Just give me the Monday." He said, "I need my last draw, $10,000. I'm in the office on Friday. This has never happened before. It's never happened since. I got a phone call, and it was from an attorney, and he said, somebody has died and left your church some money. It's never happened before. It's never happened again. Somebody died and left your church some money. It's never happened before. It's never happened again. But by the way, it could. It's never happened before. It's never happened again." He said, "Somebody's died. I didn't know the person." I said, "Sir, I know it's wrong. I know it's tacky, but can I ask you how much money they left?" He said, "Preacher, they've left your church $10,000. $10,000. We needed to build the branch. We needed land for the branch, and we didn't have the land for the branch. And they said, "You've got to have an additional acre. You've got to have an additional acre." And God supernaturally provided. A person said, "I'll sell you an acre. That's all I'm going to sell you, but I'll sell you an acre so you can build that branch and you can continue to reach young people." I remember the children's building. I remember the manger offering where I said, "We've never done this before. We've never done this before. But if we could raise $1.3 million, we could pay off the children's building." And God supernaturally provided. We received the largest manger offering we've ever received. We received more than $1.3 million and paid off the children's building. God is so good, by the way, folks. The parking team, the board said to me, "Preacher, we're going to quit growing. And the reason why we're going to quit growing is you're out of parking space. People have got nowhere to park." "Preacher, you always say you've got to park them before you pew them, but you're out of parking. And our only course is across the road." And folks, for 30-something years, we've been trying to get land across the road from the church to no avail. But God did something supernatural, and we were able to get 40 acres across the road and allowed our church to keep on growing. You say, preacher, what do we claim? Here's what we claim. We claim Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, verse 20 and 21. Romans chapter 4, verse 20 and 21, ladies and gentlemen, encourage us to not give up, to stay in the fight, to believe that God's put the dream in your heart. And I want to report to you, our God is more than enough. Stand to your feet. Can we stand to our feet? Can we just give God praise? We're going to stand to our feet. You say, Brother Benny, do you know what God's dream is for everybody? I know what God's dream is for him and for him and him and her. And her. I know what it is for everybody. First of all, God's dream begins with us coming to faith in Jesus Christ. That's God's dream for everybody, that they would come to faith in Jesus Christ.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message from Rock Springs Church. If you would like more information about Rock Springs, be sure to follow us on social media or connect with us at rockspringsonline.com. Join us right here next week for another message from Rock Springs Church.